Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on another Lord's Day afternoon, where the Lord has assembled all of us before his throne of grace and mercies. Do you love God and the Lord Jesus Christ? If your answer is yes, then you must love his holy and precious word of life. What is the Bible to you? Whenever you open the Bible, do you realize that you are hearing the voice of the Almighty? Is there a thirst and a hunger in your heart for God's Word? How important is the Bible in your life? It will be answered, not with your lips, obviously, but by your action, by your life, by how you prioritize the daily reading of God's Word. And when you read God's Word, how you very carefully ensure that you understand it correctly, and always do so with a heart of total, absolute obedience. No questioning, no challenging, no doubting, because you know you are hearing the voice of the Almighty. How dare we even begin to think that I could ever dare to challenge the Almighty in what he says and what he tells me to do? Worthy is the Lamb. What is the context of his worthiness? It's God's Word. You recall the early part of chapter 5. God the Father held in his right hand a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And when you look at the backside, the back parts, you will see the content. The content of the Bible is more than just a revelation of certain truths. It is a description of what God will do in the future and what will happen to all the people in the last days. It is a revelation of real future events. Are you interested? Who are the ones who are interested? Or rather, who are the ones who are not interested? John was extremely interested, because when no man in heaven or in earth or under the earth could go to the Father and take the book from the Father's hand to break the seal and to open and reveal the content, he wept. He wept much, the Bible says, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book and to reveal the content, the truth to us. He cried. When you and I study God's Word and we come across a portion of God's Word that we do not understand, do we react and respond the same way as John or the prophet Daniel, who also did the same thing when the angel revealed a truth to him that he could not understand? He will not let go without understanding. Because how could I listen to God's Word and obey God's Word when I do not understand it? Because I have a heart of total surrender and obedience. Whatever God revealed to him, he wants to obey. He wants to live it out in his life. But he could not do so because he did not understand. And so he wept, he cried. Not because he didn't understand, but because he could not obey. He wants to obey the Heavenly Father in everything the Heavenly Father reveals to him. That's how you and I must approach God's Word, which I believe that attitude is an extremely rare virtue. How many of us really have that in our heart, in our attitude, in our mindset, whenever we come to God's Word? The problem with the printing press is now the Bible is in our hands. That's the problem, isn't it? Because in those days, they do not carry the Bible in their hands. The Bible was in the hands of a select group of people, the guardian and the copiers of God's Word. And for them to have the Word of God, they have to either memorize it, when it is taught to them, they have to pay 100% attention. And as the person who shares the word of God with them, they have to repeat it again and again so that they could remember it in their head, to bring it home if they are the fathers, so that they could teach their children correctly and accurately and recite the word of God verbatim, accurately without mistake, for their children's salvation. No fooling around, no multitasking when it comes to hearing God's word. Total 100% attention. And then they pay attention to the explanation, because you and I know that the ability to regurgitate God's truth is of very little impact and significance when we do not know how to explain it and draw the spiritual truth and meaning from all the many different genres in the Bible, from narratives to prophecies to poetry to miracles to parables to epistles to eschatology, all kinds of material. They have to pay close attention. And then they have to understand the truth, the explanation that will be given to them by the teacher, so that they can go back home and teach the truth to their children, because they do not want to mislead their own children and lead them to hell. That was how the people approached the word of God, because they could not just simply feel like it, go to the cupboard, take down the Bible, turn and read whenever they feel like it. That kind of convenience has led to familiarity that has bred contempt. And reading God's word has lost its impact to us because we have relegated it to the word of man. But we thank God that that did not happen to the great apostle John. When he was told, there is someone who qualifies, who is worthy to go up to God the Father and take the book out of the Father's hand, and then to break the seven seals, and then to open it and reveal the content to us. That's the context of our title of this afternoon's message. Worthy is the Lamb to take the book from the hand of God the Father, to break the seal, and then to open the truth to us, so that we will know the future of what will happen in the final moment of this heaven and earth existence, and what eternity will be like. And it is more than just knowledge that will tickle our memory, tickle our mind. This is a knowledge that will soon become a reality. And that's why John the Apostle wept when he could not find out the details of what he knew was the content of the book, because the back parts, the back side of the book, would be like our table of content, revealing to him the titles of what is inside. I hope you and I will appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ afresh when he took the book from the Father's hand. And from chapter 6, he opened it. Right, that's what he says. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, one by one. And God willing, we shall look at the significance and the meaning of the seven seals judgment, and how it is related to the seven trumpet judgments and the seven vow judgments. But before we can do that, we have to look at the people who, or rather the ones, who are very thankful that there is someone worthy to take the book and to reveal the content of that book to us. Verse 11 and verse 12, we have the first group of the ones who care. It is round about the throne, the Bible says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. So who do you think is seated on the throne? God the Father, obviously, because the Lord approached him and took the book from the Father's hand. And the angels that were round about the throne, who witnessed what Jesus Christ did when he approached the throne, they were there. And not only them, the Bible says, and the beasts. I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast, that would be the angelic beings, the archangel and all the angels, and the elders, that would be saints in heaven, either in the glorified body or already in spirit. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands that would be in the billions, innumerable. So everyone watched. John saw in spirit, of course, given a glimpse of a throne room scene in heaven at the start of the revelation of the seven seals judgment. Innumerable number of angels and believers, all around the throne of God. And they saw this Lamb of God walk up to the throne and took the book from the hand. And when that happened, watch what they said. Saying with a loud voice, can you imagine how loud the voice must have been? Reverberating and echoing throughout the entire heavenly realm, where billions of saints and angels, all of them in unison, one voice. And what did they say? Worthy is the Lamb. You are worthy. No one else is. You are the only one who qualifies. And we thank God for you, Lamb, representing the earthly mission that the Lord Jesus Christ had to come down from heaven to obey. And to obey God's word and God's will. Not just His word, but God's will in His life. Perfectly. So that He could be the Lamb of God that will take away our sins, enabling us to be forgiven, washed of all our sins by God, so that you and I do not need to be cast into hell upon our death. That we all could be ushered in gently and lovingly into the wonderful paradise or heaven. That's why He is worthy. Because the revelation at the end talks about myriads of saints in heaven. How come there are myriads of saints in heaven in the New Jerusalem? How come the foundation and the 12 pearly gates of the city of New Jerusalem are named after these individuals, the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes for the pearly gates? The 12 apostles for the foundation. How come their names are there? Because of the Lamb. If not for the Lamb, there will be no names at all in heaven. And there will be many, many saints in heaven as well. And that is why these saints know that the fact that we are now in heaven, in the presence of God, in the presence of the throne room of God, it's all because of the Lamb, what He did at Calvary. From our perspective, 2,000 years ago. From John's perspective, it was only a few decades ago. This book was written about 94, 95 AD. Jesus Christ died about 30, 33 AD. So about 60 years ago, John could still, I'm sure, in his mind, can visage the Lamb being crucified on the cross, his whole body naked and covered in blood. He was also present. He did not flee or run away like the others when they mocked him, punched him, scourged him, spat on him. He was right next to his Savior. And he heard nothing from the Savior. No complaint, no murmuring. He willingly allowed himself to be persecuted, to be humiliated. And that's why John wept. Because he wanted to know what will happen to himself and to all, including the sinners who rejected Christ, including the devil, including all the demons, including everything that matters, creation included. What will happen to this old heaven and old earth that has been so much stained by sin for many centuries? Will it be our eternal home, or will God vanish it away and create for us a brand new heaven, a brand new home? all these, John the Apostle was very, very concerned for. Are you concerned? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And so now, please take note of what is about to be described for us. To receive power, dominion over all things, dominion over the devil, to destroy the devil who has power over death. Jesus Christ could not do that as the Son of God, as the Creator of heaven and earth. If he could do that without going to the cross, I'm sure he would have done it. You know why he could not do that? By using his power, the omnipotent power of the second person of the Godhead, to just simply destroy the devil who has power over death. Because the divine justice of God himself would not permit him. When God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to live, to suffer, and to die for us, he did not break and set aside his own divine justice that he set for all humanity in Genesis 2. All who sin against me must die. That's why Jesus Christ, when he took our place as our substitute, not only must he be persecuted, and then that's it. He must die. Just scourging him, spitting upon him, punching him, not enough. The humiliation and the pain was not enough. He must die to satisfy God's divine justice, not the devil's, to fulfill God's divine justice. And that's why Jesus Christ came, and that's what the Bible revealed to us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He took on flesh and blood to destroy the devil who has power over death. Whose death? Your death and my death. Because if you are sent into heaven the way you are, the devil is watching and waiting and pointing an accusing finger at us before God. How can you let this sinner enter heaven? You are now breaking your own divine justice, God. How can you do that? He's the accuser of the brethren. Do you not know that? Always before the throne of God. You and I were given a glimpse in Job chapter 1 and 2. That's what he continues to do till today. Sure, so-and-so in Truth BP Church will honor you and will love you and obey you because you bless him with so much, with health and in wealth. Take that away from him and see whether he will still worship you. You think he stopped doing that because he only did it to Job? And so when you and I experience all these adversities, bear in mind that was what happened. And then after that, when Job passed the test, touch his body, God. Let's see whether he's going to curse you. Alright, touch his body, but don't you dare take his life. And so he touched his body. You know how much he touched Job's body? The Bible describes from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The devil is evil. He does not just simply touch one part of his body. He touched his entire body, his whole body from top to toe, underneath the feet, covered in painful balls, which will be ulcers. Can you imagine how terrible Job must have endured the pain? He could not walk. The soles of his feet were covered in ulcers. Painful, sore, painful ulcers. And his body, also with ulcers. Could not even lie down. His back was with ulcers. He had to sit on ashes because his buttocks were also covered with ulcers. Can you imagine the difficulty in sleeping? When you don't have enough sleep, you will be very miserable emotionally, mentally. You will be torturing yourself because you want to sleep, you could not sleep. Your body is reeking in pain. You think God would just simply let us enter into heaven the way we are because of some little bit of good works? The devil will never, never stop accusing us. But because we are in Christ, the Lord has an answer to the accuser of the brethren. That person may be a sinner, but watch carefully. He is washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever sins he may have committed now, right now, as a witness for me on earth, that is only external, because inside, inwardly, he has been washed by the blood of Christ. And look how he repents. And that is what Romans keep reminding us, isn't it? No one can ever point an accusing finger at us that we do not deserve nor have the right to enter heaven because of what Jesus Christ had accomplished for us
at Calvary's cross.
The power, the authority over the devil first and foremost. Because of him, we die. But because of Christ, we die no more. The power is destroyed. The devil is destroyed. That's why, O death, where is thy sting? Power over all men. And we all know how man can have power as well. Worthy also to receive riches. All the riches that God could ever give to us. Not just things of the material realm. Please, don't think of the material realm. They are not true riches in the eyes of God. Never has and never will be. Why do you think God described for us in the New Jerusalem? You know how big the city is, right? Look at the dimension. You know the map of America. The land of America. You do your mathematics. Midway point of America. That is the length, breadth, and height of New Jerusalem. Can you imagine how humongous, how huge that city is? The middle of the length of America is the dimension of the length, breadth, and height. And that height will definitely reach all the way up to the sky. And the whole wall covered in all kinds of colorful, precious jewels. And then the streets inside that beautiful New Jerusalem city, all pure solid gold. To help us realize and understand what you men on this earth consider as valuable. God says, I created them with all its beauty and its color, its brightness and how it shines and glimmer in the brightness of the sun and in the new heaven and new earth, not even the sun. There's no sun, only the brightness of the glory of God. They are purely decorative. That's it, decorative. No real value. Then what about what riches? Eternal, special riches. Who do you think, or what do you think is true riches in your own home? What is most valuable to you? Things, okay, minus your family. That which you pay the highest price, right? In our context, it will probably be our home. Those who have landed property, millions of dollars. Those who are living in HDB flat, condominium, it's our home. Much, much more expensive than our expensive vehicles. In terms of dollars and cents. So what do you think God paid? What highest price did God pay? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did God purchase with the blood of His only begotten Son? You and me, isn't it? So who do you think are the richest to receive the richest? You. In heaven. Do you know that? Why do you think the Bible tells us that when a sinner becomes a saint, in the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, there is joy in the presence of angels in heaven. Not the angels rejoicing. In the presence of angels. Who is the one in the presence of angels? Or rather, the angels are in the presence of who? God. When a sinner becomes a saint, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, they rejoice. Because every time a sinner becomes a saint, worthy is the Lamb. His suffering and his death is worth it. Because now another sinner is heading toward heaven and getting out of hell. That's why God the Father is rejoicing. Because God the Father is the one who planned, who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. And now the result and the impact and the fruit of all that the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure and to suffer and to go through, to die, is not in vain. And when you study Isaiah 53, the Bible tells, for the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ knew that will come, He despised the shame, the humiliation. He says, all right, if this is what I have to endure, to experience and to see the joy. Who is the joy? You and me. Our salvation is the joy that gave Jesus Christ the strength to endure the suffering and the pain, despising the shame. Do you know that? He despised the shame. All right, if this is what I need to endure from my Heavenly Father in order to save sinners, let them come. You mean you have to spit on me? So spit on me. You have to cover me and punch me? Go ahead. You want to mock me? Go ahead. You want to crown a round crown of thorns and force it down my head? Go ahead. If that is the only way that I can turn a sinner into a saint to save him, go ahead. Jesus Christ did that because He saw in the future the joy, you and me coming to know Christ as Lord and as Savior and have a place in heaven. The riches. Not the things that God created out of the dust of the ground or even the new heaven and new earth. It's you. You and me. Wisdom. To receive the wisdom. The Word of God. The wisdom that was personified as a person in the book of Proverbs. To help us realize and understand how important the Word of God is. To receive wisdom, to reveal to us all the truth that we all need to know and to understand so that we can live this present life. Not by guessing, maybe right, maybe not right, but to know that if you live according to the Holy Scriptures, what God has promised you in the future will be your reality. Strength and honor. Strength means the inner strength to continue to serve the Lord even when this body begins to grow old and weak. Honor and glory and blessing. God the Father gave to the Son all these. And we are more than happy to praise and to shout with one voice together with all the saints and all the angels in heaven. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor to Christ. And glory and blessing to Christ. Where we will come before Him and kneel down and praise Him and worship Him and adore Him and bless His holy name. Because of all that He has done that made us who we are right now, from children of the evil one to children of the living God, from slave to sin to slave to righteousness and to our loving Heavenly Father in service, in devotion, in obedience. Who we are in so many different facets and so many different perspectives to help us appreciate the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave us so many titles to help us understand and value our salvation. You are not an appendix in God's plan of salvation. You are chosen before the foundation of the world. Stop evaluating and stop seeing yourself from the eyes and perspective of the world, which is based upon what man-made education, man-made standard of wealth, which is bank account and property. Oh, you live in this good class bungalow, therefore you must be a somebody. And therefore I do not live in this kind of location, therefore I'm a nobody. Stop seeing yourself in the eyes of the evil one. Start seeing yourself, if you are truly born again, from the perspective of your Heavenly Father, so that when these saints in heaven together with the angelic beings shout with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive all these," join in the refrain from the depths of your heart. That's the heavenly perspective. The saints who have gone ahead of us. The Apostle John saw. And then from verse 13, it is the earthly perspective now. When they found out the Lamb of God had taken from the Father's hand the book with the seven seals, and He is going to open it, and you look at the content of it, most of it will be about this earth. It's about the Antichrist who will come, and what he will be like, and what he will do. The whole book of whole chapter of Revelation 13 will describe his evil deeds. And before that, chapter 12 describes the devil, the dragon, the perspective of the world from the dragon's perspective, study Revelation chapter 12. Immediately after that, chapter 13, the first part, the beast. Second part, the false prophet. The unholy trinity found in 12 and 13 of the book of Revelation. And so the earth and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. John joined in the refrain so that everyone in heaven and in earth, including those who are under the earth, and he noticed, what did he exclude in his song? Blessing, yes. Honor, yes. Glory, yes. Power, yes. He excluded riches and wisdom. A total of 7 in verse 12. A total of 4 in verse 13. Strength is also excluded. Why did he not mention the rest? Blessing, focus on Christ. Honor, focus on Christ. Glory, Christ alone. Power, Christ alone. His authority. The strength, the wisdom, the riches. It's about us, isn't it? He made us wise to be who we are, more and more like Christ, bless us with the mind of Christ. So he excluded himself. He just wanted to point only to the Lord. All 4 is about the Lord. We are the richest. We have been made wise. And we are given the strength from the Lord. Right? Because of him, you have the strength in the inner man to keep on serving, even though physically, sometimes you are exhausted and you want to rest. But the Lord will give you the strength the moment you pray for it. But the other 4, blessing. Let God, his name be highly exalted and magnified and be blessed. And let him alone be honored. For he must increase and we decrease. And give him all the glory. And give him all the power, the authority to the Lord Jesus Christ. And be unto him that seated upon the throne, God the Father, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So John the Apostle shouted and let everyone on earth and all in heaven as well. He agrees. He agrees and he wanted to join in the refrain to praise the Lord and to give God all the glory and all the power and all the honor and all the praise because of the Lamb of God. He understood, he experienced, and he is eternally grateful and thankful. Who are the ones who are not interested whether the Lamb is worthy or not worthy to take the book from the Father's hand? I don't care. Does it ever touch you or impacted you, or are you indifferent? If you are indifferent, your salvation probably is not real. Because how could someone who has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who experienced the greatness and the goodness of God's grace and mercies in saving him from sin, how can he not be grateful and to be thankful and want to praise and thank the Lord and thank the Lord and God the Father for all that the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished because of the Father's first love for us when we were most undeserving as sinners, depraved. And then in that state and condition, the Lord loved us so much that he paid the highest price that he could ever pay, the blood of his only begotten Son, to save us. And if a person who is truly born again, you will always be prostrating on your ground and you will always be grateful and thankful to God if your salvation is real. You cannot help yourself. How could you ever help yourself and forget God and not honor him, praise him, and give him all the glory when you know that he snatched you from the jaws of death and hell? Not that we do not deserve death and hell, which we know we deserve. That's even worse, isn't it? Knowing that we deserve death and hell, If you are not deserving and you find yourself an innocent man about to be cast into hell, then someone come and deliver you fine and good. Injustice had been averted because you are innocent. But can you imagine someone like us, guilty through and through, 110% guilty, most deserving to be cast into hell, and I'm sure you would admit it too. Guilty, 100% deserving to be cast into hell, and then someone comes along and washed away and took on his body the punishment that you deserve, he took it on him to fulfill and satisfy the justice, divine justice of God Almighty. He did it in your place and you accepted it. How can you not be grateful to the one who took your place and suffered and died for you and rose from the dead for you? How can you not be grateful and thankful? That's why the Apostle John could not help himself but to join in the refrain to worship God and to worship Christ. And then once he did that, look at the reaction. The four beasts representing the angelic beings, the archangel, they said amen to what John said. Amen. Would you also join John and say the same thing? So that the angelic beings in heaven will also say to you, amen. Truly. And the 24 elders representing all the saints in heaven, thousands and ten thousands of them, they fell down and they worship him that liveth forever and ever. God the Father and God the Son. They worship. That is the only genuine, sincere response. After you praise with your heart and your lips, what else is left? Bow down in genuine, sincere, prostrate worship. Worship is something that you must be very, very guarded. Don't anyhow worship anyone. That's the danger of idolatry. Idolatry means there is someone who is not the one living and true God that you are bowing down to. That's idolatry, isn't it? So bow down and worship only the one living and true God. And he found you. And now you know him. And John and all the saints in heaven, they praise and they thank him. And those who are in heaven, they bow down in worship as they watch and saw the Lord Jesus Christ took the book from the Father's hand and he will begin to open it. Not just simply information, but to open it and to know the description of our eternal destiny. And all these are made possible because of the Lamb, because of Jesus Christ becoming the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. He earned his worthiness, and because of that, he has made us also worthy to enter heaven. How could you and I not long to be in God's house every Lord's Day to worship the one living and true God? To sing from our heart, from the depths of our soul, to praise him and to live for him Monday to Saturday. And whenever we stumble and fall and we fall into sin, we must repent straight away. And then we experience the forgiveness all over again. And then we come week after week, thanking God for his goodness, his mercy and his grace. Every day you can wake up and continue to serve and live for him. That's why he is worthy. Worthy to be honored by you, worthy to be glorified by you, worthy for you to bless him and praise him and bow down truly before him in genuine, sincere thanksgiving and praise. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has taken away your sins, and that has made him worthy to reveal your home in the new heaven and the new earth. And if he did not come up to take the book of Revelation ends it with chapter 4 and part of chapter 5. That's it. What will be the next? No one will know until it actually takes place. And by then, there will be no preparation on our part. There will be no hope on our part. That once we know the content and the truth, our hope is now completely revealed to us. And it is as solid as if you're already in it. Because the hope is anchored and based entirely upon what Jesus Christ accomplished for us at Calvary. And if the hope of what God has revealed to us pertaining to our future is only a figment of our imagination, and if it doesn't come to pass, Jesus Christ's work on the cross of Calvary will be vitiated and be rendered null and void. Do you know that? And therefore, you cannot separate the first coming of Christ and what He has accomplished for us at Calvary with the second coming of Christ and what He will do for us at His second coming. The two are intertwined, and one depends on the other. That's why John understood all these things. And that's why he joined in the refrain. Would you also do the same from the bottom of your heart? Not just singing, but also to evidence it by a life of holiness, Monday to Saturday, every day of your life. Live for Him at home, at work, in school. Is the Lord Jesus Christ not worthy? Is He not worthy to you? He is worthy before God, the angels, all the saints in heaven. He was worthy to the Apostle John. Is He worthy to you? Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to receive blessing, honor, glory, power from all of us, as we bow humbly before Thy throne of grace and mercies, and to know that if not for what the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished for us at Calvary's cross, all of us will be living a life without hope, and we are all bound for hell, where there is great pain and gnashing of teeth forever and ever, without relief. What a horrible destiny, O Lord, to find ourselves in because of the many transgressions we have committed against Thee. Help us, O Lord, as we reflect upon what we have just looked at from Holy Scriptures. How worthy is the Lamb of God before Thy throne of grace and mercies, where angels and all the saints in heaven would worship Him and ascribe to Him all the glory, the power, the strength, the wisdom. How much more all of us who are on earth to do the same, to give Him all the praise because of the great work of salvation that has already begun in our lives. And if all of us truly are born again in Christ, we cannot but imitate and join in the similar refrain like the Apostle John, to bless and to praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God Most High, the Almighty. For truly, Thou hast saved us, redeemed us, and given to us an eternal and a blessed hope that one day we all will be found in the new heaven and new earth, and the new Jerusalem will be our eternal capital city. That is our eternal home in glory. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with a deeper sense of gratitude and thanksgiving, and may we never lose sight of this eternal and blessed hope that awaits us as we continue to live for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in these last days. And may we do so faithfully all the days of our lives until we see Him face to face. And may we do so according to Holy Scriptures in holiness, righteousness, and godliness. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.